Hello and welcome to All Things Queer. Indeed, your weekly radio show covering queer news and culture from the local perspective. Broadcast live from the city of Boorloo, Perth on Whadjuk Noongar land. My name is Sophie and I'm so excited to be in the studio with you today with a special guest. Say hello, special guest.
Hello, hello. How's it going?
Good. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Samuel England. I'm part of the collective here, All Things Queer Collective, and I'm your guest host today.
Thanks for joining us. Today's a really packed show, Sam. I'm really excited for it. Starting off today, we'll be chatting to the office drag queen herself, Karen from Finance, about her latest dalliance at the Perth Comedy Festival. We'll be talking to Greens Senate candidate River Clark about queerness and politics. And Sam, I'll tell the people, do not touch that dial, because near the end of the hour today on All Things Queer, we'll be chatting to comedian and recent Melbourne Comedy Festival Most Outstanding Show winner, Reese Nicholson, about their upcoming show, Reese, at the Perth Comedy Festival. Sam, what a show. I'm so excited.
It's going to be huge.
Beloved drag queen Karen from Finance presents her debut one-woman show, Out of Office, which features all of her trademark high camp tomfoolery you have come to expect. Karen will be bringing the show out of the office and into Perth Comedy Festival. Karen, thank you for joining us on All Things Queer.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
No worries.
I'm so excited to be back in Perth for the show.
Hey, we're excited to have you. Look, Karen's back. She's clocked off. She's out of the office. She's come back from placing fourth in Drag Race Down Under. What can we expect from the corporate queen herself in this show?
Well, I always like to describe this show as a journey of self-discovery and self-annihilation. It's incredibly stupid and, you know, hilarious and funny, but it's got a really wholesome message to it at the same time. There's you know, it's not just about one woman from Finance. There's something in it for everybody.
Yeah, and so the self-annihilation part of what you just said, I'm really interested to know a bit more about that. Is that something does that mean you're stepping away from the Finance portion of being Karen?
Well, I think that, you know, it's not really stepping away. There's something under the skin, you know, under all of us, isn't there? The self-annihilation, the story basically is that Karen starts her work on a Monday morning and gets told that she's got too much annual leave accrued and that she needs to take a holiday. And, of course, you know, Karen, like any good, faithful corporate worker, loves her job, but she doesn't want to go away. And she ends up going out and getting a little too wasted on her annual leave. And the story really is about her trying to find her way back to the office before work starts again on Monday.
It sounds fantastic. Look, you're heavily quite influenced from, I guess, what can be described as like an old world drag, very like big and flamboyant and that kind of thing. What excites you about this style of drag performance?
Well, for me, it's the comedy, but it's also the otherworldliness. Like one of my favorite things about drag, apart from having a laugh, is just being transported to someone else's universe. And I think that that's what a lot of people love about going to a drag show, no matter what sort of drag they're seeing, is it's a little escape from their own life. And when I do that, I want to go into someone else's and I want it to be as absurd and beautiful and gorgeous as possible.
And talking about that little escape, from your own life, obviously going on a show like RuPaul's Drag Race, you do have to escape from the real world. How do you think your style of drag translated to the show?
Well, do you know what? Ru always talks about like breaking down your barriers and being as vulnerable as possible, which I think for most people is a really like that would work. But I think that I, in my own life, I am quite a vulnerable person, and I think I've kind of spent my whole life breaking down my, you know, personality traits and myself and who it is that makes me like a queer person in this current world. And I found it really difficult on Drag Race to do those things. Like I've set up all of these sort of functions in my real life that help me get along and get through every day and help me make the comedy that is Karen from Finance. So doing Drag Race and having all of those things removed, I actually found it really difficult. And I don't actually think my comedy translated very well in the show. I think my personality shone through, but my comedy not so much.
I could definitely attest to your personality shining through on the show. I mean, especially getting your own comedy to translate. I think when you have a character, it can be so hard when, you know, someone else is doing all the editing. But I have a question. It's always been plaguing me, especially in Australia, you know, the community is so small. But how hard was it to hide the fact that you were going to be on Drag Race?
It was pretty impossible because the Australian drag community is very small.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got websites and the internet now, and when everyone else is talking, it's really it was a really difficult secret to keep. Thank goodness we were still in lockdown and we weren't out and about, so I didn't have to hide it really face to face with anyone. But I was getting a lot of messages online that I had to tell some porky pies.
Yeah.
We are currently chatting to Karen from Finance, the beloved Australian drag queen, about their upcoming show, Karen from Finance is Out of Office. Look, your co-writer for this show, Dan Giovanni, I know personally in the theatre world from his work, House, and currently his show, The Great Unwondering of Wilbur Whitaker, which is running with Barking Gecko, both of which are family children's theatre shows. What has Dan brought to this new show, and how has the experience of co-writing been?
Well, Dan was brilliant to work with on this show. What I had so many ideas for what I wanted to do and achieve when I was first putting the show together. But what I didn't have much experience in was creating a narrative arc. And I think that's the hardest bit when it comes to writing a show or even putting together comedy, is having kind of like, you know, a plot, a start, an end, and a finish. Some way to like create an issue that you can resolve. I've got lots of funny ideas and lots of gags and lots of odd situations that I like to put Karen from Finance into, but Dan really helped me craft the narrative of the story. And I think that's really evident in the final piece, is that, you know, the audience for so much of the show just think they're on some kind of wild ride, but it does really resolve itself in the end and have such a beautiful, wholesome message that the crowd can take home with them. So he really stepped the show up and made it a lot more special than I originally planned on it being.
And so you're bringing this show to the Perth Comedy Festival. What are you most excited to see this year and to be back in WA?
Well, my goodness. Well, first of all, I can't wait to be back in WA. I always say that I'm from Melbourne, but I'm spiritually from Perth.
Oh, we love that. Team WA.
Yeah.
All of my friends here in Melbourne are all, you know, Perth expats. I spent a year of my life living up north in Shark Bay. I love Perth so much, but specifically the creative arts scene. I think I don't know what's happening over there in the West, but there's something in the water. And everyone is really, like, interesting and has some really amazing creative juices. And I just can't wait to be back in my spiritual home city.
And we can't wait to have you.
Absolutely. Looking forward for you to make a splash in that proverbial, you know, water in the creative, you know, I could go on with the metaphor. But thank you so much for joining us today on All Things Queer, Karen.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, looking forward to
then.
It. See ya.
River Clark has their name on the ballot. They are a Senate candidate for the Greens and a member of the LGBTQI+ community. To discuss politics, policies and point of views, River Clark joins us on the line. Welcome, River.
Hey, how are you going?
Good, 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 good.
Really well, thank you. Hey, River, what is it about politics that interests you, and what made you put your hand up to stand for Parliament?
Oh, well, I think the thing about politics that interests me, I guess, is or that got me interested might be a better way of putting it from my perspective, is that it's kind of unavoidable. And if I don't get involved, it's just going to impact me without me having a say, especially as a young queer person. But with the climate crisis, the cost of living crisis, politics is definitely something that affects everyone. And if you don't actively engage with it, then you just wind up being affected without having any say in it. So for me, I just sort of went all in and was like, yeah, I'll be a candidate. And it gives me the opportunity to stand up and talk about the issues that are affecting people and try and make some positive change.
And so obviously the Greens Party was the most aligned with your beliefs. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think when I was getting involved in politics and sort of looking at the different parties and things, the thing that stands out about the Greens is that we've got a progressive platform that really covers every issue. So there's some parties that, like, I might agree that are single issue parties, and I might agree with their single issue, but I'm like, okay, but what about refugee rights? Or okay, but what about rating centrelink? And so for me, it was about having progressive policies across the board, and the Greens fit that bill.
Yeah, speaking of progress, in your bio for the election, you talk about your experiences as a member of the queer community. Policy-wise, what do the Greens offer LGBTQI plus voters that other political parties might not?
Well, we've got a range of policies. I think the key thing that we're pushing that no major parties are, and I don't think any other parties, is to introduce trans healthcare into Medicare. Which, as any trans person will know, would be life-changing for trans people, because the cost of healthcare is thousands of dollars, if not tens of thousands of dollars, for stuff like gender reassignment surgeries. But even just accessing hormones and binders and things like that is really inaccessible for most people. We also want to push to make schools safer for LGBTQIA plus students and staff and teachers, and that includes like removing exemptions from anti-discrimination laws and refocusing some of the funding into anti-bullying away from school chaplaincy programs into sort of more effective secular counselors and anti-bullying initiatives, so that they're more suited to actually supporting students from any background with any issue. And then we, of course, have like our whole suite of policies that will many of which will particularly help LGBTQIA plus people, stuff like bringing mental health into Medicare. And we obviously know that people in the queer community are disproportionately impacted by mental health issues, but that's less targeted.
You touched on there at the beginning about sort of the rights of trans people and trans issues, and the rights of, you know, trans people who are transgender have filled newspapers during the first part of the election campaign. Why do you think this has been a focus?
I think basically conservatives are looking for a punching bag, and especially the Liberal Party and some of the minor parties for the right of them. And unfortunately, Labor's just kind of let them have it. There's always going to be another minority group that conservatives use to punch down on, to fearmonger, whether that's refugees, whether it's people of the Muslim faith, whatever the latest thing is. They're like, oh yeah, we'll use this to score political points, to convince our conservative voters that there's something they should be afraid about, that we're protecting them from. It's obviously all bogus. There's never any science or statistics or actual local community groups that are concerned about the issues that conservatives are raising, the latest one obviously being trans women in women's sports. Like, there's no actual sporting organisations that are going, hey, this is an issue. Like, no one's doing that because it's not an issue. They just want to fearmonger. And it's disgusting, basically, that they keep trying to beat this dead horse and bring up these issues again and again. And we're just here like, hey, can we just live our lives? That would be great. Yeah.
We are currently chatting to Rio Clark, who has their name on the ballot as a Senate candidate for the Greens, and who is also a member of the LGBTQIA plus community. Rio, as a younger candidate, what would you offer? What do you think your perspective offers in that regard?
Yeah, I think it's actually really important that we have more younger candidates. The Greens are pushing a lot. I think there's a few from some other parties this time, but obviously Parliament itself is disproportionately older, in addition to being disproportionately male and straight and white and all the usual ways that they don't represent Australians. But I think the fundamental issue is that the policies that we're making now are obviously going to mostly impact young people because we're going to be here longer, especially around climate. So we're the ones that are going to have to deal with like a planet that is going to be growing increasingly inhospitable because the major parties are still opening coal and gas mines and they're still not curbing emissions. And I think it's young people that are mostly realising that, and young people that are standing up and being like, hey, actually, can you please act in our interests as well as your donors? Like, we also vote and we also deserve to have a say here.
And yeah, talking about the climate emergency, West Australia is obviously a humongous mining state. Can the Greens strike the right balance between environmentalism and industry?
Of course. I mean, we'll always still need mining. We're not proposing a return to the Dark Ages or anything. So the Greens have a plan, for example, to scale up renewable energy and to export renewable energy. And for that, you need to build things. You need solar panels. You need batteries. You need wind farms. We still need mining. Our Greens leader, Adam Bandt, likes to say that the best job for a coal miner is another mining job. And that's the reality. In WA, our Green senator up for re-election this time, Dorinda Cox, is actually the mining and resources portfolio holder for the Greens. And so she's very across the issue. But it's very much so about being very careful about finding that balance and making sure that we're not waving through any mining projects or anything that are going to be causing undue environmental impact, and also to prioritise listening to First Nations voices and the local First Nations people on what projects should be going ahead instead of basically bulldozing on top of all of their cultural traditions and speaking over them all the time.
River Clark, thank you so much for joining us on All Things Queer to talk about your platform and everything else.
No worries. It's always good to have a chat.
That there was River Clark, Green Senate candidate for Western Australia. And if you'd like to, head down to an event tonight at 399 Bar and you can find all the details online to chat to River. And it kicks off at 6 p.m. Reese Nicholson, they are a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. He's just spent months in Canada filming a new TV show, an international and my personal style icon. I don't know about you, Sam, but next month... Oh, my gosh, I know, right? Those suits. But next month, he will be doing what he loves most, stand-up comedy. Reese will be taking over the Astor Theatre on May 14, and they join us now. Reese, thank you so much for being on All Things Queer.
Thank you for having me so much. And I'm just you guys just opened all your capacities, right? So I can do a nice full big room.
Yeah, I think from Friday, all of our capacity limits are coming off, as well as the mask. So.
Yeah. Hooray!
Yay. So many love. Yeah, absolutely. First of all, huge congratulations are in order for taking out the title of the 2022 Melbourne Comedy Festival Award for the most outstanding show. How are you doing?
I mean, it's wild. I mean, obviously being Australian, I do not accept it, I'm very excited about it. I think Australians are very but it's taken me a few days because it was so unexpected. And I think there's no way of saying that without people going, but surely you expect it. I got it. One of my best mates, Geraldine Hickey, won it last year. And so she got to give it to me. And my other best friend, Joel Creasy, was hosting the awards. So it was a very, it was a very nice situation. And just I expected and I cried and said a weird speech in front of everyone and then walked away.
That's beautiful. I mean, this show, we've read that you talk... in this show, deliberately not referencing major things that have happened in the last 2 years. I don't know how you do that, but what's the process of writing a show that avoids such huge historical moments?
Well, I mean, I try to, but I think inevitably, you can't talk about anything. I think basically I just, throughout the entire show, I just keep saying, let's not talk about it, let's not talk about it.
While talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I yearn for the day, basically. The dream of this show, when I first started writing it, was to, not even reference anything of the last couple of years and make it a very nostalgic show. And then you realize everything is still just so steeped in it, right? I yearn for the day that I just have a conversation with someone that, either we don't talk about it, or when we're not talking about it, I'm not thinking the whole time, oh my God, we're not talking about it. It's just so, everything's just so dipped in it still. But I think it's just, I know this sounds so wanky, but not existential comedy, but very kind of, so you can't kind of talk. I'm always having a kind of existential crisis. That's kind of what my comedy is, I feel like. And so I can't really not talk about it, but I don't want to talk about it. You're just going to watch a person standing on stage having an argument with themselves.
Well, I guess if it's not spoilers about COVID, what can we expect from Race, Race, Race?
I mean, who knows? Like, it's but you know what I mean? Like, it's impossible to explain, I think, sometimes stand-up shows, because it's like, I mean, look, I'm mainly going to talk about myself. And you know, because what else would I talk about? There's nothing else going on in the world. I talk a little bit, like I've been talking more and more about, I recently came out as a non-binary person. And like, I talk a little bit about that, but not very much, because I don't want to make it like a big thing. And then I feel weird not talking about it at all. And this feels like the right station to talk about it. Lots of things I talk about. I think truly what it is it's an hour of someone trying not to talk about the pandemic and anything other than. And I feel like that is maybe the best way to explain it. It's funny. There's a lot of dick jokes. People like dick jokes, right?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's still a hot favourite.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fart jokes as well.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not the right person to ask in terms of dick jokes, but yeah, I think, who knows?
Hey, we just had Karen from Finance on earlier, and we asked her... what she was most looking forward to about coming back to WA, and I want to ask you the same thing.
I think, my partner's family is all there, so like off topic of show business, I'm excited to kind of see the whole family. But also just like the idea of traveling, and I have friends over there, and like, you know, we haven't been over there in so long, and usually we kind of go over there like every few months. I think it'll just be exciting to do comedy. And like the Astor is like a beautiful theatre as well. I wish I had like a really interesting question for you. Like, well, you know, but you know, I'll probably just be hanging around in my in-laws' place in Shenzhen Park, just seeing family and being excited about that.
We'll keep an eye out for you then.
I'll drive past Joel Creasy's compound in Applecross.
It's a coming home. No, we are currently chatting to Reese Nicholson, who recently just took out the award for Most Outstanding Show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I want to ask briefly about the venue that you co-run with your partner, and I think Alex Dyson, potentially, the Comedy Republic. What is it like having a kind of curatorial role in the comedy scene as someone who is a comedian themselves?
Feels deeply powerful, and I abuse that power. It is truly all my dream. My whole life is to just have been able to have a venue or like a bar that I can walk into, and I can say like just the regular, please, and they make me a drink, and I don't have to pay for that. You know, that's the only reason we really started it. The dream was to be there are particular venues, and some of them have been in Perth. Like there's over the years. Places like Lazy Susan, which I don't think it's no longer around.
No, it's not, but unfortunately.
These like venues that are kind of for the comedians, which sounds kind of productive, but so many comedy clubs and places are purpose built to the audience. It's like purely for the audience. Whereas there's nothing like, you know, there's no backstage. There's no like, you know, most comedy in Australia is like in a pub room. Like, you know, like, and they're great, but like, we wanted to build a place that is like, treats comedy with the respect of an art form, which I think that it is. Stand-up comedy is, I think, is developing, similar to drag is developing into the art form up there was theatre, and it should be treated that way, and it should be put into these types of spaces that respect it. You know, in ways that, like, I think people are learning. Audiences are learning that, you know, at a drag show or a stand-up show, don't talk to us, don't shout at us, don't walk up onto the stage. Like, these are, you know, these are people working really hard and creating something for you, and so why not respect it? And so that's the way to build a venue kind of that way.
Reese, it feels like a massive moment in your career. I'm sure it is. Are you...
Oh, yeah, I've peaked.
Peaked, this is it. There's none. Comedy's finished, actually. Breaking news... Comedy is done. How are you feeling about what's coming next?
I mean, it's kind of exciting. I mean, one with the award is a strange one because you can't win it again. And like, I grew up, and I'm truly only grappling with it in the last couple of days, is like, I grew up going to that festival, Melbourne Comedy Festival, which is like such a huge part of my life. And I used to watch people win it and think like, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to even like be nominated for that or even like be one of the shows that people talk about. And now that I've won it, it's like, oh, I'm like, I'm done. Like I can get canceled now. It's all over. They can find the tweet.
It's coming.
It's coming. I can't wait. No, but it is things like, you know, I'm excited for what opportunities it brings because I feel like I'm someone that I don't like to do something unless I'm prepared for it and ready for it. Like, and I feel like I'm kind of getting to the point where I feel kind of ready to do bigger things. And even, you know, I've been given some incredible opportunities, even in the last couple of years, like as grim as it's been, I'm so lucky by the work that I've gotten. And like, I kind of have this weird survivor's guilt of like, you know, I survived a plane crash or something because I got drag raced during this time. And I got like, I've got these acting jobs in this show called The Imperfects that's coming out in like a few months. And like, yeah, I'm excited to just try new things and not be like scared. Does that make sense? I feel like I didn't answer your question.
No, I think you...
I'm excited to just be veering into new worlds.
Yeah, I think, I guess, given you that bravery to go forward and, yeah, feel more confident, perhaps.
Validation. I'm not ready to be a tall poppy that Australia wants to cut down. Please.
Reese, thank you so much for joining us on All Things Queer.
Of course, anytime. Please come to my show, please.
Absolutely will. Thank you so much. That was Reese Nicholson, who will be at the Astor Theatre on the 14th of May as part of the Perth Comedy Festival. Sam, I'll definitely be getting tickets.
Oh, see you there, front row.
All right, you are listening to All Things Queer. And Sam, if people missed that chat with Reese Nicholson, the one and only, where can they find it?
You can restream that one on rtrfm.com.au. We'll be right back.